Hey, I'm Scott. It's Azure Friday, and I'm talking with Mark Sims. Mark is with the Azure Customer Advisory Team, and he works with kind of the biggest and nastiest and most difficult problems and customers that we have, and then really solves their problems and then brings it back to us and says, this is good, this is bad, this sucks, fix that, right?
That's a pretty fair layout of what we do day to day.
Cool. Okay, so there's a thing in Azure called queues, but I can't see them from the portal, but they're super useful, right?
Absolutely. So if a lot of times when you're building on a website, you're going to have some work that you want to do later. You don't have time to do it right away, or it's important, you want to hold on to it. You just want to grab it, put it somewhere, and come by a bit later and work over it. And that's what Azure Queues let you do. Provide a nice, durable way of saying, here's some stuff, here's some work, I want to stack it up, and I want other people to process it somewhere else, sometime later.
Do these act like I know about queues, like we used to use MQ Series 15 years ago, and MSMQ, is this those things in the cloud?
If you had an app and you were thinking, I need something that works a lot like MSMQ, only it's very network friendly, plays well with Azure as a core component, Azure Queues are definitely the thing you're looking for. Mm-hmm. It basically says, I'm going to a bunch of folks are going to jam some work in together, and then a bunch of other folks are going to come along later and grab copies of that work. If we wanted to be fancy, we'd call it cooperating producer, competing consumer. The fancy way is just saying, I've got a bunch of work, and the first person to grab it can do it.
So if I'm building an app and I have naively, and I think people have done this, inserting rows into a table and then have some process that's reading stuff from that table and setting flags, I'm building a poor man's queue and I should probably stop immediately.
You're fighting physics, and physics usually wins.
Okay.
So we have you could go into Azure Tables and you can do something very similar to that.
Right.
Or you could use the capability in queues that's built for you.
Okay, cool. So what would like a hello world queue kind of thing
sure.
look like?
So let's say I've got a pretty simple bog standard web project here with a web role and some MVC API controllers.
Okay, so let's slow down. So you have a web role running MVC.
Yep.
Not a website, but a web role.
You could have the same code running in a website.
Okay, cool.
I wanted to have everything in the one project here today.
Okay, cool.
Yep. So just say that I was going to go and I was going to get some data, post it from somebody. Some random string
receive
value.
Receive something.
Yeah.
All right.
And I wanted to process that. Couple different ways. In general, I could start by going, okay, process some stuff. And we'll fake it out. We'll say, hey, this could look a lot like my highly advanced fake of processing some stuff.
Yeah, do some stuff. And this could be talk to the database or think about something, process the genome.
Call some other web service, do a bunch of interesting things.
Okay.
The challenge is, well, I'm blocking this thread while I'm doing that.
Right.
And no one else can use that thread on my website while I'm doing this. Just hogs a lot of resources. But more to the point, the person who sent me that work is just sitting around waiting for it. That they could time out, all sorts of bad things.
Yeah, they could close their browser.
Absolutely. So in general, what I'd want to do is I'd want to grab that and be able to respond to them as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And now I could do stuff like, okay, well, I've got tasks in .NET, and they're really powerful. So I could say something like, my task is, wrong namespace. I could spawn off a thread using task factory start new, and I could do that. And this would run in the background.
You type fast.
I blame VI back in the day.
Yeah.
So I could go and I could do this, and I could apparently not paste on this machine. That's awesome. Okay, let's just type it out again. Thread.sleep. And I could do naive things like this. The problem is, I haven't really acknowledged back to the person who called me that I've successfully held on to this.
Right. And well, the semantics are a little different too here. You're saying on this web role, just make another thread.
Yeah.
On this web role.
And if I get too many of these, all of a sudden, I can run out of threads. If I'm wildly successful, this will blow up threads. If I lost that instance for whatever reason, then all that work is gone.
Mm.
So that's probably not a very good way to go about this process.
Okay.
So let's go and say, all right, rather than just holding everything on this box and throwing it in memory and chewing up more resources, let's have separate resources for receiving work and processing work with a durable thing in the middle that'll hold on.
Okay, so that's the queue.
That's the queue. So we'll just start with some basic stuff, and then we'll clean it up as we go. So a queue, you access it in much the same way you access table storage or blob storage. We start just by getting a storage account. And I'm just going to say, I'll just use developer storage for now, because I'm going to run this in the emulator.
I see.
To be a little bit more interactive. And then from there, I want to create a queue client, which is basically just a handle on queues as a service. So I'm just going to create my queue client. This is basically just a little handle.
Okay.
And then from there, I'm going to create a queue. So I'm going to say that my queue is a queue client and I'm going to get a reference to a queue name. So we're going to call this work.
And it doesn't have to exist. It exists as at that point.
It does actually have to exist. This is just a reference. So what we do is we say, hey, queue client, create if not exists. So if this thing isn't there, I want to create it. And we'll talk in a second about why this you should only do this once. But we'll just get through the basics of Hello World, and then we'll clean it up a little bit.
Okay.
So if it doesn't exist, then hey, I just want to say, Hello World first time.
All right.
Yep. All right, so now I've got my queue, and then I can just take, say, queue, add message, and then I just basically need to add some cloud message. So I've got a string, so I need to wrap that up into a cloud queue message. So.
And cloud queue message is just an envelope.
Exactly.
To hold stuff.
Yep, so we just cloud queue message.
Can you anything go in there? Any simple type, or can I put pictures in there?
Any string or byte array.
String or byte.
So I've got a byte array, I've got a string, and I've got a string message ID.
So I could put JSON in there if I wanted to.
Absolutely.
Cool.
So if we were actually, you know, had a post that took some strong type in JSON, I could just put the JSON in directly.
Nice.
In fact, that could be JSON encoded text. We'd set the controller up differently, but let's just go with that for now. So I'm just going to have some value go in there.
All right.
And I can just say Q, add message, message, and then I'm good.
And that's just going to sit in there, and that Q can get how large?
If you know, if you put more than a few billion records in there, you might have a problem.
Okay.
The bigger thing is a queue is kind of semi-durable, meaning that after 7 days, if a message isn't processed, it gets deleted automatically.
7 days. Okay. Yeah. And is that settable, or is that just?
That's just how Azure works.
Okay.
But generally, if you want something that can sit around for an arbitrary amount of time, you're better off using an Azure table.
7 days seems reasonable.
Yeah, this is more just the. This is something I want to process relatively soon.
Because it is a queue. It's filling up. And if I've got so much work that my buffer has grown more than a week, I've got bigger problems.
Exactly. And just like tables have a number of operations per second and blobs have a number of operations per second, I can do 5,000 operations per second on an Azure queue.
Oh, that's a lot.
Which works out to about 2,000 messages a second. Because I have to add a message, which we're doing now.
Right.
Then I have to get the message, process it, and then delete it.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like a queue where I pull it off and it's gone. We'll get to that in a second when we talk about the other side of who reads it.
Okay.
But for now, basically, once add message comes back successfully, that has been written to durable storage, 3 copies in Azure Storage, and I can now return to the user, I have your stuff.
Okay.
So, pretty straightforward, but somebody's got to read it.
Right.
So let's flip over to a little worker role that I created. Just a bog standard, you know, standard worker role. So let's just go and put some stuff in here.
And most worker roles just do stuff in while true. They just do stuff forever.
We'll clean that up too. That's not quite right either.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that.
Once
we get beyond Hello World.
But essentially, most worker roles will just start up and then do stuff. Okay, storage is already, I added that as a NuGet package earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, yeah, if you want to shut down a worker role, it's generally you're just going to get an on stop or from
gotcha.
From the role entry point itself. So let's go and let's set up a queue, just kind of my storage account. Now I'm just using dev storage here. Normally you'll pull this from the cloud service configuration.
Right, you have a tiny development fake Azure running locally.
Exactly, so cloud storage account.
It's funny, you type fast enough that the IntelliSense is working against you.
It's kind of weird that way.
Yeah, it's funny.
I blame the laptop.
Yeah, if you type slow, IntelliSense is great. Type fast, it's always going to be wrong.
Of course, the camera can't see me slowing down behind here, typing very slowly, just
no
to
worries.
Be kind
well,
to
plus
IntelliSense.
Plus, it's an unfamiliar keyboard.
I think
you're doing fine.
I just got back from 2 weeks in Europe, and trying to type on a UK keyboard is so painful. All right, so Q client. So we'll just get, again, same kind of thing. We'll create our Q client here, and then we'll create our Q.
Don't worry, no one's watching.
I hope people are watching. All right, so we're going to call it same name on the other side.
All right.
And we'll also do the queue create if not exists, because there's no guarantee that the website or the web role will start before the worker role.
Ah, good point.
So everybody has to do this.
Okay.
All right, so then we'll come in, and while we're true, let's start by getting a message. Get message. Okay. There's a bunch of overloads. We'll get to those in a second.
And that literally just, like, whatever you got, give me the first one.
Yep. And then if message is not equal to null, then the content is the message as a string. So if that was JSON, we could put a JSON.NET deserializer on
it. And I would know what that is because I've decided and I've designed my queue references. I may have several queues all named different things, so I know, oh, these are all JSON encoded, or these are all graphics.
This is this is all video names to encode, or this is items to put into the database. Mm-hmm. You can put them all in one queue, but because queues don't cost anything to add, and you can have lots of queues, it will generally vertically partition, like a queue for each type of thing.
Now, when I've got that, how do I know someone else isn't getting it at the same time?
So as soon as I get the message, as soon as this piece of code here comes back successfully,
that message
is now invisible to everybody else.
So it's still written in the queue and it hasn't been taken away, but I've got my finger on the chess piece.
Exactly. No one else is allowed to see that.
Okay.
Now, two things will happen. One of two things. Either I'll go through and I'll successfully process my stuff.
Right. Do whatever.
And then I'll delete the message.
With q.delete message or remove message.
Strangely enough, exactly.
See, and I just guessed. Now I'm an expert in queues.
You are. Okay. And I just delete the message.
All right.
Or if this process crashed, what'll happen is when I pull the message out, there's a time to live, an invisibility time. Mm. So if I pull the message out, it'll be invisible. I die, I don't delete it. After, by default, 5 minutes, it then becomes visible again.
Mm-hmm. So presumably I need to be thoughtful about my process, that I have some compensating things. So it's kind of like a, not necessarily fully transactional, but I need to have some sense that, oh, wait a second, someone's been here before. This is, I'm recovering.
Yeah, and we'll actually get to that in a second when I talk about poison message handling.
Let's do that in the second video.
Yeah. All right, so I've gone through, I've gotten my message, I've gotten the content, I've processed stuff.
Okay.
So I'll just put a fake.
This is our do stuff.
Yep. And then delete the message.
All right, okay.
So at this point, I have an end-to-end workflow where I can create the queue on one side, put messages into it, dequeue on the other side, and then process them. Mm-hmm. So let's run it and see what I forgot.
All right.
So I'm just going to run this in the emulator. Now, the nice thing about Visual Studio in the modern SDK is that you can go and you have a Storage Explorer.
Okay, so this is interesting because you've opened up the new SDK and in Visual Studio and Storage Explorer, you've got blobs, which I've seen in the portal, and tables. I've never seen queues, though, in the portal.
And because exploring, there's nothing to really do explore or query. It's just messages in, messages out.
What if I want to have some administration? Like, what if I'm worried my queues are getting full? Do I have to write that myself, or how do I see
You generally
that?
Have to either exercise the APIs, go through something like Server Explorer, or use some of the great add-on tools like the Cerebrata Storage Explorer.
Okay.
Yep. All right, so we're just going to fire this up and wait for my emulator to come up.
What do you think the chances are to work on the first try?
I'm going to give it about 70-30.
70-30?
Yeah.
That's not bad,
honestly. I usually forget stuff. So.
No, we've actually had a number of times where things have broken, and the person I have on is like, oh, no, let me start over again. I say, well, hang on, this is me learning.
Yeah, this is
this
real
demo. This is not you demoing. I want to see stuff break so then we can actually fix it.
Yep. All right, so we've got our websites coming up there now, our web role, actually. We can see that starting up in the emulator, just going through its processes.
Do all web roles give you all this tracing, or have you gone and instrumented
only
this one?
This is by default if you're running the emulator. Mm-hmm. If you're running remotely, you'd have to go in and configure Windows Azure Diagnostics to get some of this.
Okay, so because you're running locally, you're getting some free lifecycle notifications.
Yep. All right. So we just see it kind of going through to finishing up. So what we're going to do is we're going to go and we're going to drop a breakpoint here in our controller.
Okay.
Such that if I get something posted,
we'll
be in good shape.
Okay. You're going to post with curl or Fiddler or something? Or
we're going to do some curl stuff.
Let's make that a little larger font size.
Oh, not find. I want font. Properties. Font.
24, 26, 28.
Yeah, let's go.
There you go.
Let's go big. Go big or go home.
Yeah, you won't be able to. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Perfect. Okay.
All right. So, and this is going to be me remembering the curl commands for actually doing a post. That's okay. It's probably my favorite utility. Just I don't use it every day. So.
Dash X?
I think it's that. Let's find out. I think it is. X command. Yep, that looks right. So let's just notepad some request.txt. This is my mez2 queue. All right. So we've got a file. And we'll just check the good old help here to, in order to include the file. Actually, let's just guess and see what happens. Oh, no.
Curl dash X, post dash D, and then at the file name.
Yep, that's some rec.txt. And then
you get at the file name.
Oh.
And then your endpoint.
Yep. So this is why I never actually try and remember stuff, because it's...
What port are you on here?
Port 81.
Yep.
Saw the emulator bring it up.
All
so
right.
127.0.0.1.81. And because I'm using the default Web API binding, it's API controller name.
Got it.
And then we find out. There we go.
All right, makes sense.
Looks cool. Good. All right, so storage account.
Let's hover over value.
Yep. Yep. So yep. Just a storage account.
And then what's, do you make sure you got your value in there?
Oh, look at that. Oh, from body. I guess it didn't bind properly.
You gotta, you send, when you're sending something naked, it's a different binding than if you're not.
Yeah. All right.
Does your file, did you sure your file exists? Some Rex got what you need in it?
Yeah, actually, let's drop this out and go verbose. But here's the thing. Let's see what happens. Create queue if not exists. No, it didn't call in. If I go to my Server Explorer and I check my queues.
You probably already have one.
Work was automatically created by the worker role.
So the worker role started before the web role started.
Yes, because it went through every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So now if I go in and I look at my queue, I can go in and I can view my queue. Queue contains no messages.
Right.
Yep. So that's good, because we haven't put anything in yet. Now, the interesting part is, what if I go, can I create a null value? Let's find out. Oh, look, apparently I can.
So you have an envelope with nothing in it.
Yep. And my string is string.empty.
And presumably then you could even go and modify that at that point, right before you add the message,
yeah,
if you wanted to cheat.
Yeah, let's cheat. I love cheating.
So you failed on the curl action there, but you could certainly go and change message.
Yeah. All I wanted to do was, actually, no, I can't, cheat here, because the message has already been constructed. I would need to cheat right here by changing value.
Ah, good point. And make another one.
Yeah, so we'll just go through again. So we've added the message. So now at this point, well, I don't actually expect to see anything, because I have that worker running in the background. So if I come in and I refresh.
Oh, so you think the worker actually grabbed it?
It grabbed it. So let's go through, and let's actually turn that worker off for the time being.
Mm-hmm. Should you put a breakpoint in so that when it does happen, we can stop the worker and see?
Well, actually what we'll do is just for now, we'll just comment this out and just let it run.
But can you grab it there?
Oh yeah, we can do that.
Just breakpoint and stop?
Yeah, okay. Actually, that would be the wrong place to breakpoint. Because there's actually something wrong with this code. I put it in here deliberately.
Mm.
If there's no message in the queue, this just returns null.
Ah, good point.
Yeah. So what we'd actually want is the breakpoint right here.
Touché.
Yep. A little further, we'll talk about how to pull stuff out in batches to be more efficient. And then it's easier just to check to see if, hey, did I get anything, as opposed to just getting a null.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll start up one more time. And then we'll be pretty much done with an end-to-end flow on queues.
Okay.
All right. So that's coming up. And we wait for the joys of the emulator.
So the Azure emulator seems to start up a little bit longer than the IIS type emulator.
Yeah.
The emulator, rather, but the IIS worker process.
It's because it's got to start up a bunch of stuff in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So this is here. You know, we're posting. Let's just go and edit value right now.
Okay. Put it in.
Yes. There we go.
Okay.
Yep. So we'll just go in.
So we're pretending that that curl worked.
Yep. Or the message. Yep. And we're good. Yep, so we've got our message content.
Okay.
Yep, Fred is in there. So now, we just go and we bring up the Server Explorer, we look at our queue. Yep. There's our message.
All right, there you go. Sitting in the queue, as of yet unprocessed.
Because because we're in the breakpoint, because we're in the debugger, we're not processing in the worker.
Got it.
Hit F5, come to the worker, now we've pulled down our message as string, Fred, now available. So see a few other things.
Totally the other world. I mean, the worker process could be in a different computer in Azure. That's the whole point. It's loosely coupled.
Could be in a different region altogether.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
You'd have some latency issues, but this would work very well. And you can see that, you know, we know when it was inserted. We have a message identifier that was automatically tagged, all that good stuff. And we just go through, sleep a little bit, delete the message. And now we go back. Message is gone.
Well,
and now we have
so
an.
That is the essence of kind of loose coupling. These mm-hmm. cues are fundamental.
Absolutely.
But they're kind of hidden. In the sense of, you wouldn't really know about them unless you started doing some research and some reading.
Yeah, unless you started looking for, hey, how do I do kind of background processing mm-hmm. or what kind of queuing options do I have available? They're not going to jump out at you from the portal. But that was all the code required to do a full end-to-end decoupled system in Azure.
All right, let's dig in the next video, and we'll talk about poison items and less naive queuing. Yep. Hey, it's Azure Friday.